السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers, also sisters who listen over the receivers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created this universe. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam for the guidance of the people of their times, and the Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a guidance for the entire mankind until the day of Qiyamah. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam himself has stated, and the mafhum of that hadith sharif is, we can't go into details because we don't have the time, that there is nothing which brings you close to Jannat and distances you from the fire of Jahannam but that I have informed you of it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at his shafqat, his muhabbat, his compassion and kindness for the ummah, that he says there is nothing that I left out which would bring you close to Jannat, will bring you close to paradise, and which will distance you from the fire of hell, but that I informed you about it. And there is nothing that will bring you close to the fire of Jahannam and distance you from Jannat, but that I warned you about it. Like a dear loving father, what can a father have, or where can a father have that kind of love that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had for his ummah? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto all the worlds. Mercy for the young, mercy for the old, mercy for the weak, mercy for the strong, mercy for the poor, mercy for the rich, mercy for the kings and rulers, mercy for those who are ordinary citizens, mercy for those who are white, and mercy for those who are black, mercy for all times. So that Nabi of Rahmat, he says that I did not leave out anything that was of benefit to you, but that I informed you. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how can then he not give us direction with regards to that which will give us najat and salvation? Now there are many, many issues that can be discussed. We know that every aspect of Islam, or everything that a person is faced with in his life, he will find guidance in Islam. But everything cannot be discussed in one program or one majlis or a few minutes. So we discuss whatever is relevant to the times. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one sahabi, Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala, he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam a very beautiful question. This hadith sharif, I think I discussed about the same time last year. But there are certain sicknesses, certain weaknesses, certain illnesses, where we are told to repeatedly take that medication. Therefore I say that in the hospitals they give us drips. And those drips, they call them drips because they are drop by drop by drop. Sometimes it takes hours and hours for those drips to complete. But the patient cannot rush and say that I want the entire medication at once. But he is told that he will have to take that. And sometimes it is repeated. A person is in hospital for many days and the same drip is repeated. So like that, this is a medication for our spiritual souls. Islam has given us both a protection of our physical bodies that is also necessary and essential. In fact, there is great sawab and reward if a person keeps his physical body in good shape, so that he may be able to fulfill the commands and obligations and the duties and responsibilities that are upon him. So he's trying to keep his body in good physical shape. He does exercise, he runs, he jogs. his niyat is good, so that is also ibadat. But of course then he must not start using that excuse that he wants to do physical exercise, he wants to jog, he wants to run, to keep his physical body in good shape so that he may do good ibadat. And after that start running behind those women scantily dressed in marathons and say that I am fulfilling that obligation of keeping my physical body fit. There are other times that he can run. One person asked that question, he says, Maulana, but what is wrong? I'm keeping my body physically fit. He wrote in an email, what is wrong? I'm keeping my body physically fit in marathon if I have to run the 84 kilometers from Durban to Pietermaritzburg. And my niyat is good. So I said, there's no problem with that. You can run not 84, you can run 184. But what you must do the day they're running from Durban to Pietermaritzburg, you must run from Pietermaritzburg to Durban. And the day they're running from Pietermaritzburg to Durban, you must run from Durban to Pietermaritzburg. Then we'll see how sincere your niyat is to keep your body physically fit. Does it mean you have to be part of that whole fitna that is there? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked by Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala an. And Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala an, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward him. That so sweetly and so beautifully and so simply he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, man najat. Because in the Quran Sharif we find Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself in the du'as that we are being taught, that we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for najat. Rabbana, in many places, different du'as of that have been mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Then we come across najjina wa najjina min al qawm al kafirin wa najjina min al qawm al zalimin or whatever. Now there's that, so najat, salvation. So Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir, and this is reported in Tirmizi Sharif, he says, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in what is najat, in what is salvation? That means what are those deeds, what are those actions, what are those a'mal that will give me salvation in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat? It's not only with regards to akhirat and the hereafter. We say, what about this world? What about this world? This world, we are living in this world. It's a world of means and we have to make use of the things of this world. But it does not make a Muslim thereafter azad or free from any kind of obligation because he's in this world. So now he can use the means of this world as he wills and as he deems fit. He will make use of the means, but there is a guidance. He's a Muslim. He says, I've committed myself. I've submitted my will and desire to the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I'm a Muslim. So therefore, I will ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that what is your will with regards to this business that I'm conducting? How must I conduct it? What can I sell? What I cannot sell? How can I trade? In what must I trade? Can I take interest and give interest? Can I borrow from the banks on interest? Can I hide the defect in the article that I am selling? Now all these type of things, definitely he'll get the reply no. His heart will tell him it's no. So the Quran Sharif and the Hadith Sharif we have to look at when we are doing our businesses. So he asks Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that what is najat? In what actions and deeds will I get najat? Because as I said that this world and the akhirat, a Muslim, believe me, that if he has to make amal, and I've mentioned these many places, that if a Muslim has to make amal on the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his business, he will see the barakat in his business. He will see progress in that business. He will get sukoon in that earnings of that business. He will get so much more, because even if it is a non-Muslim that is practicing the usools and the principles of Sharia, of Quran and Sunnah in his business, or in his other aspects of life, then he too will see the advantages and benefits of those practices. Believe me, he will see it. Because whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught, you can see science is now coming to the same conclusion. After many, many, many years of research, then they come to the same conclusion, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us of more than 1400 years ago. So even the non-Muslim, he will see the benefits of it. The truthfulness, the honesty and everything else that we have been taught with regards to business practices. So if a non-Muslim also has to make amal on it, he will see the benefits of that. So what about a Muslim if he is practicing on it? He will get both this world and the akhirat. So he asks him that, what is najat? In what can I get najat and salvation? Look at the reply of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He could have given a long, long speech, a very lengthy speech he could have given. But that is the beauty of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's kalam, that it was appropriate, it was for the occasion, the person that is questioning, and what was relevant, it was mentioned in a few words, jawami'ul kalim, and after that it is an ocean in a teacup, as we say. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's words, you can go on expanding after that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, amlik alayka lisanak, meaning that you must be in control, you must be the master over your tongue, over your speech, you should be the master. How we say that he is the master of the house, he is the master those days of slaves. He's so like that, we must be the masters controlling the tongue and its movement. Because there is no piece of flesh in the body which has, causes more harm than the tongue. It slices hearts. It slices hearts. Other kinds of wounds you can still find some medication and remedy and it will heal. But on most occasions those wounds which are caused by words which have sliced the hearts, whether it is of family members, whether it is of friends, whether it is of other people, then they don't heal. They don't heal quickly. It takes a very, very long time. And many a times I have mentioned that it's just a few words that brings about a total change in different aspects of life. A person, he reads the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and he enters into Islam. Now he's a Muslim, he's a mu'min. And the same person utters a few words of kufr and shirk, and the person is out of the fold of Islam. He utters it, he just says, nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, and now that woman who was a total stranger, becomes his wife. The children will be legitimate. And all the other benefits, advantages of that nikah, he will enjoy. And if he hasn't said those words, then even if he lives with that woman for 100 years, that woman will be considered to be haram for him. And if children were born of that marriage, they'll be illegitimate. And even if he had looked after her in the best possible manner, and that husband was abusive also, but we'll say that that person's nikah was still valid. And this person, whatever he did for her, he will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah, and he will be punished very, very severely for the zina that he was committing all his life. So it's just two words. I've accepted in my marriage and all the other little formalities that go with it, and finish, the person has made nikah. But this, of course, again, doesn't give permission that every person goes and undertakes nikah secretly, as is very common these days. They say that Maulana said that two witnesses are required for nikah. So therefore, in some corner, or some parking lot, or some business premises, or some hideout, then in the presence of two witnesses, nikahs are taking place. Those wives don't come to know after that that this person is married. Or when they do come to know, by that time the damage has been done. So we are not advocating that. In the masjid, after Asr, there's a small crowd if a person wants to have simple nikah. Any part of the time, the person can have a few people in the masjid and make nikah openly. But the fact is that it's just with those words that now she becomes his wife. Nakahtuha wa qabiltuha. So this tongue, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, amlik alayka lisanak, that what you want to know is about najat and salvation, so be in control. Be the master over the tongue, that what words you are uttering. Some people say, only you said one or two words and the person got so angry, but those one or two words are like bombs. One or two words. That which they utter and which they say to their wife sometimes, they say, only one or two words I told her and she got so angry. But what were those one or two words? They spoke about the father of that wife, they spoke about the mother of that wife, or the other way around, that the wife spoke about the father, mother, or she said certain things which we can't even mention in the masjid. But maybe just one or two words, but what they have said has caused lifelong damage. Now that is a subject on its own, and we have discussed it many times, control of the tongue. There are many, many things. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written pages on this section. But the second thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, wal yasa'aka baytu, and that is the most relevant now for our times. Everything of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is relevant. Here Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi, in the explanation, he says that stay as much as possible within your homes. وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ, stay as much as possible within your homes. That means do not go out unnecessarily. If the person is going out for tabligh, he's going out for da'wat, he's going out to visit some family members and friends with a good intention, he's not going to the cinemas and discourse with those friends, or the person is going to visit the sick, or the person is going sometimes just to see the forests and the jungles and the animals, or he's going to see the waves of the ocean and think of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat. That is what we are supposed to be seeing. The waves of the ocean should be reminding us of the qudrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and not that we should be seeing all obscene things there. It's a holiday season and people will be flocking to Durban and they will be going to the beachfront. That seems to be the best place for everybody, or the place that is most desired. So nobody says it is haram to be on a beachfront. With our shaykh, we used to go on the beachfront. But at a quiet time, far away from the fitnas, and you look at the waves of the ocean, and as the waves are flowing and going on and on and on, we are reminded of the qudrat and power of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that who else could have created so much of water, such volume of water, and look at the ships that are plying on this ocean, and look at the amount of salt that Allah ta'ala has put in there, that science, the only thing it has taught us is how to take out and steal that salt from there, but they don't want to recognize the one who has put the salt in the ocean. Samandar ka sahil, pahadon ka daman, bajuz aah ke kuch ab sahara nahi hai, siwa tere koi sahara nahi hai, siwa tere koi hamara nahi hai, nahi khatm hoti hai mauje musalsal, nahi khatm hoti hai mauje musalsal, mere bahar e gham ka kinara nahi hai. Oh Allah, these waves of the ocean, they just don't stop, they go on and on and on. This dard e muhabbat that I have in my heart of you, oh my beloved Allah, it is also like the waves of the ocean, that it just flows and goes on and on and on. Every side that I see your qudrat, your power, your might, your glory, your shine. So there's nothing wrong with it. They say, well, yasa'aka baituk, unnecessarily don't go out. To the bazaars, to the marketplaces, and all these places where we go and spend our time. Then look at the fitnas that are there. If we are truly Muslims, we are not stifled. Our happiness and joy is not stifled. Believe me, we will have even more happiness when we are going to stay away from the areas of sin and vices and evils. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, wal yasa'aka baituk, that unnecessarily the person should not leave his home. He should find his home spacious. Wal yasa'aka baituk. He must find spaciousness in his home. He's asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for that. In fact, in the dua of wuzu also, after that we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allahumma ghfir li dhambi, wa wassi' li fi dari, wa barik li fi rizqi. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. And then give me spaciousness. We are asking for space. Because a person is single, he requires one room. After that he gets married, he requires another room. One for himself and his wife. Then he gets children, they require rooms. His parents come, they require rooms. His in-laws come, they require rooms. So there's nothing wrong for asking for spaciousness. We're not asking for lavishness. So, wal yasa'aka baituk, that the person must find himself comfortable in his home, even if it is a tiny little home. Look at the people that are living in shacks. When we have to look at those shacks, and in the heat of the day, especially when it's really boiling, the sun is 50 degrees heat, 45 degree heat, and they've got sometimes no windows also on the side. It's just one little 2x2 room with wood and iron. What kind of boiling? We don't appreciate the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. But yet that poor person will go out, he'll labor during the day here and there, make a few rands, and is looking forward to returning home. Comes back home. That's his home. So, wal yasa'aka baituk, Allah Ta'ala has given us good homes, even if it's two room, one room, half a dozen rooms, whatever it may be. But if we are not going to spend adequate time with our wives and with our children, then believe me, we are going to hold our heads and cry later in life. We are facing this situation where people haven't found adequate time for their own wife and children. They've got plenty of time for their friends, plenty of time for the strangers, plenty of time for everybody else, but they can't find time to spend or to sit and talk with their wives and children. So then what happens is that their nights are spent here and there, and their wife and children, their nights are spent in something else. They have got absolutely no monitoring and control after that where those children are. Then they say drugs, they say they go on here and go on there, what are we going to do? One person says, but what must I do? My wife, she doesn't talk on the same level. Now this person's level is gone so high, but look at the wives, you are not going to talk at your level. If you got high degrees and qualifications, now you want to talk at that level. Come down to her level and talk. So, وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ. Unnecessarily, don't just go and spend time in the malls because you get mauled there. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ. And what we say, come to the bazaars, come to the marketplaces, come and spend your whole day in shopping and enjoying the extravaganza. This is our invitation. In other words, bring your wives, bring your daughters, bring your young girls and your young boys and let them have a fun time. How far we are going from the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yes, marketing, shopping, it's all, there is a place for it and we are allowed. And not only that, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam went to the market. The great Sahaba went to the marketplaces. Great Awliya go to the marketplaces. Buying and selling is part of deen, part of Sharia. But it is declared in the Hadith Sharif as the worst of all places. That means in the bazaars, because there's a lot of lies and because there's a lot of other fitnas that are there. So a person goes there, he wants to buy bread, milk, sugar, he wants to buy some clothes, he wants to buy some shoes. So now he doesn't require a whole day to go and shop. And in fact, I mentioned, I think, in one of the bayans, that when we are going to take our little children and go there, or if the poor people are also going to go there and they are going to be invited to come and do some window shopping. Now in the window shopping, what is going to happen is the person is going to see a lot of things which he will not be able to afford to buy. His salary is not sufficient. Now the wife is demanding, I must have this. The child is demanding, I must have that. Now the whole family now they're demanding, I want this, I want that. Now this person doesn't have that kind of money. So then he'll end up either borrowing from the banks, he will use his credit cards, and thereafter he'll have problem with his payments. Or they all will burn their hearts. Everybody will be burning their hearts that, hi, I can't afford this. Hi, I can't afford this. Hi, I can't afford that. Then what is the benefit then of going there to watch everything for nothing? And those Rennie's tablets are not going to solve that heart problem. That heartburn is not going to be solved with Rennie's tablets. That heartburn which is now caused unnecessarily wasting time in such kind of shopping festivals. Respected brothers, I'm telling you from deep down in my heart that if you want peace of mind, if you want some kind of satisfaction, some kind of contentment, some kind of enjoyment, true enjoyment in life, then follow these nasihats of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Person has to go run his business time to time. He goes and after he's over, he's back home. Or thereafter he's going to the masjid or one of those things that I mentioned, go and visit somebody or go and talk to somebody or go and go to the hospital or do anything that is constructive and positive. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all teachings of Sharia. But unnecessarily where the people are just passing their times in places of fitnas. And then what it is doing is that the person's mind is all clogged up. It is clouded. Person cannot even then think what is good for him and what is bad for him. So, وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ. Spend quality time with the children. Talk to them. Win their hearts. Show love, show compassion, show mercy. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam example. Look at the love that his children had for him. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had for them. Now the time is expiring, so we'll just touch on the third part of it. Where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then says, وَلْيَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَّتِكَ وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَّتِكَ. The third thing you're asking about najat, in what is salvation. So the first thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned there, which we discussed, is control your tongue. Be the master. You must be the master. You must control. And let your home suffice for you. Let it, find yourself comfortable in your homes. But then again, in the homes, the person mustn't get caught up in big, big fitnas. He must do something that's constructive, talk cheerfully with the family, do anything. The third thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, then cry over your sins and your weaknesses and shortcomings, that we are human beings, we are bound to make mistakes and we are bound to err. We are bound to slip, we are bound to fault. So that is recognized. Shariat recognizes it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes it, that human beings, there could be mistakes and errors. So then Allah ta'ala leaves the doors of tawbah wide open, that accidental mistakes, accidental sins the person is committing, deliberately, purposely a Muslim does not commit sins. It'll bring him nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. How many people, because they were watching porn sites till late night, because this of filthy films which are shown late night. Now that student or that person is waiting till 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, because he has read in the newspaper this film will be shown this time and that film will be shown that time. Now his whole night is going, first of all, waiting for that film. And when that film comes, now his mind is clogged and polluted to such an extent that now he doesn't even get sleep. He doesn't even get sleep. And let that carry on for a few days. Because in the morning, again, the person has to go to work, or he has to go to his profession, or the student has to go to the college and university. So the night has gone. Sleepless night he has spent. And now the day is going again, he's wide awake and alert. So what is going to happen? After a few days, this person will end up in the madhouse. There are people who have committed suicide. Believe me, they've committed suicide. And some of those people who knew what was the real problem, so they said this was his problem. So Shariat is something that is for us, for our benefit. Allah loves us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loves us. Just as we don't like any child of ours to get any kind of hurt, injury and pain, Allah ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they love us so much that they don't want anything that will cause us any kind of hurt. That is one of the sifat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that has been mentioned. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّ. It is very, very difficult upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Anything that will cause hurt and pain and suffering, just by way of explanation. Anything that will cause any kind of hurt to the ummah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is feeling hurt about it. So therefore he says, cry over your sins. Now when will the person cry over his sins? When he recognizes the sin to be a sin. If he doesn't recognize the sin to be a sin, will he cry? The great, great people, the Khulafa'i Rashideen, they are crying, yet they committed no sins. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is crying, yet he committed no sins. The great, great awliya are crying, yet they committed no sins. So those who committed no sins, they are crying. And we who commit sins 24 hours of the day, we can't shed a few tears before Allah and say, oh Allah, I'm a weak person, I am extremely sinful. But you are most forgiving, you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you. Open the doors of your maghfirat and forgiveness. With your power of jazz, pull me towards you. Because I have tried my shoulders and I can't seem to succeed. I'm always falling and I'm dropping. But even if the person drops 100 times, he doesn't give us hope. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, bahraal koshish to aashik na chode. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. Is a person happy and satisfied if that bond of friendship or if that love that he has for some illicit beloved snaps? The person goes out of his way, he'll give gifts, he'll do anything, he'll try to pass apology, maafi, forgiveness. He say, I'm prepared to kiss your feet also, but forgive me. That's what he does for his illicit beloved. And here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is our benefactor, who has blessed us with our sight, our hearing, our speech, our heart, our liver, our lungs, ask those people who can't pass urine what kind of problem they go through. One person says for a few days, he says he can't pass urine. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give shifa. But the thing is that it doesn't mean sicknesses are always an azab of Allah ta'ala. It is sometimes a rahmat and a blessing. But what I am saying that these ni'mats and bounties we fail to appreciate because we have got it without any payment. So cry over the sins. He said, cry over your sins. I conclude. And I mentioned this, I think, some other time also. That the Sahaba-i-Kiram, they used to look at things and they used to say, hi, I wish I was hair on the body of some animal. I wish I was a blade of grass eaten up by some animal. My mother had never given me birth. And who? Like Hazrat Umar, etc. Hazrat Abu Bakr sees one bird flying under the the shade of trees and say, oh bird, how I wish I were you. You fly under the shade of trees, you drink water, and then you die someday, and no hisab kitab, no accountability. At Kaaba Sharif, I say, when I look at those birds, I say the same thing. I say, oh you birds, how fortunate you are. You fly round and round the Kaaba Sharif. You descend and you drink the water of Zamzam. You listen to the azan of the muazzin of the Haram Sharif. You listen to the qiraat and the namaz of the imam of the Haram Sharif. And then you get a bird's eye view of the people going into ruku and sajda, millions of people. And then someday you will die. And you will be buried. Or you will die somewhere in Makkah Mukarrama. No hisab, no kitab. Oh bird, how I wish I had been you. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us all with the best of dunya and akhirat. Allah ta'ala must remove the pain, the suffering, the hardship, the difficulties of mankind around the globe, and especially the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan, Somalia. Allah ta'ala must bless the entire ummah with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.